Glad to be here this morning. I want to start this morning with a story, a personal story. It was about 20 years ago. I bought my daughter a moped. That's what I told my wife. I bought my daughter a moped. Really, I bought the moped for myself, but I needed to justify spending that amount of money, so I said it was for my daughter. I said she was going to go visit the neighbors and explore the neighborhood, make new friends, maybe ride to the store every once in a while. I got a little moped. She was 10 years old, 11 years old. And I got the moped and I brought it home. And I said, wow, this thing is just too powerful for her. I can't let her drive this thing all around the neighborhood. This is dangerous. I can't do it. I'm just gonna let my daughter just ride up and down the street, maybe 30 yards that way, 30 yards that way, and only when I'm home under my supervision, because I don't want anything to happen to her. I bought her a moped. She could only ride 60 yards at a time. I knew what was gonna happen, and it happened just like I thought. After around 3 weeks of riding up and down the sidewalk, my daughter said, you know what, I don't even want this thing. I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything with it. And I said, oh, that's just too bad. Wow, I'm sorry you can't do anything with it, but I'll be happy to take it off your hands. And so I did. And for that summer, I was just riding all the trails in Northwest Indiana, cruising, had my earphones in, riding my little moped, grown man, looking like I'm oversized. Had a good time. I got home one day, I was looking at my little moped, and I got curious. How do mopeds work? How do small engines work? I got curious. So I got my tool bag out, and I went in my backyard, and I'm going to check and see how the brakes work on a moped. So I started taking the brakes loose, and I took them all loose, maybe 18 parts laying around. So, oh, that's how it works. I wonder how the gear shifter works. And so I took off the gear shift and I started checking the gear. This is amazing. About 20 or 30 parts laying around in my yard. And then I wanted to see how the engine worked. And so I took apart the motor right there in my backyard. And before I knew it, I'm standing in the middle of a pile of all of these parts and I have no idea. This is a true story. I have no idea how to put the thing back together. And then I'm asking, what happened to me? Why did I take apart my whole moped like this? I got curious. I had questions. I wanted answers to my questions, and I took apart my whole moped and couldn't put it back together again. Then my question was, I wonder how much is a disassembled moped worth? What could I get for this if I took it to turn it in? Life is filled with problems and questions. Questions of curiosity. What causes lightning? What is the source of rush hour traffic? I was just in rush hour traffic a moment ago. I don't know what the source of it was. Like, we get to this place and everything just opens up, all the cars start driving, but I've been sitting here in rush hour traffic and there's nothing up ahead. What is the source of rush hour traffic? How does that happen? Questions. Hello, Helen. It's good to see you. Questions. Of all kinds. But each of these questions can be answered. What makes the lightning strike? What causes rush hour traffic? Those questions can be answered. Life is filled with questions, but life is also filled with mysteries. Mysteries that are not so easily answered. Mysteries like, what is the meaning of life? What is my purpose for being in this world? Is goodness really rewarded? These kinds of questions, these questions of mystery, these big life questions, possibly the most immediate and urgent question that all of us have is, what do I do with my pain? What do I do with my suffering? That is the major question of every major religion in the world. What do I do with my pain? No matter how many times philosophers and prophets provide answers to these questions of suffering, the question remains real and pressing in every generation and in every life. No matter how many answers we get, don't worry, be happy. Life is full of a bed of roses. All these little sayings that all of these answers do not satisfy the deeper mysteries of our existence. In every generation and in every life, these questions arise. Because the marks of sickness and pain and suffering cover the landscape of each of our lives. And suffering is difficult to understand. There are several types of sickness. There are several kinds of sufferings, from acne to cancer, from physical deformities to mental and emotional abnormalities. There are all kinds of sicknesses in the world, heart attacks and strokes and seizures and blood disorders. The list could go on and on forever. Sickness and suffering pervades the landscape. There is a wide variety of sickness, a wide variety of diseases. And as Paul points out for us here in our text today, God has invested in his church a variety of gifts to address various types of healings. He says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. And to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. I want to make a couple observations about the way Paul describes this particular gifting. First, you may have noticed that healing is the only manifestation of the Spirit operating in our midst that Paul calls a gift. None of the other gifts that he mentions in this place does he preface with the word gift. He doesn't say there is the gift of the word of knowledge or there is the gift of the word of wisdom. He simply says word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. But here Paul describes healing specifically as a gift. Gifts of healing. All of these are spiritual gifts, of course, whether miracles or faith or word of knowledge. But Paul seems to infer that the gifts of healing may be a gift more widely dispersed among the congregation of believers. Paul seems to imply that the manifestation of the Spirit of God in the form of healings should be a staple of every church. Or to say it another way, healing is and healing should be the most pervasive characteristic of the church. This means that whenever the people of God gather together, we collectively generate a healing atmosphere or a healing environment supernaturally. There should be a plethora of healings among the people of God. Healing should be pervasive in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we know from experience that this is not always the case in every church. But Paul seems to say to us here that healing is supposed to be the hallmark of every congregation. And it makes sense. When we consider that healing has one of the most prominent locations in the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. John says this, and he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Healing takes center focus in the kingdom of God. Every nation has its own kinds of illnesses. Some countries struggle with AIDS virus. Others are harassed by malaria. Some suffer with widespread tuberculosis. Every nation, every community seems to have its own unique sets of health challenges. Do you know what the main killers are in America? In America, the main killers are heart attack and stroke. And in more recent years, we've been gripped by emotional distresses like depression and severe anxiety. Whatever the illness, be it physical, be it psychological, this tree that sits square in the center of the city of God provides a leaf that will address every unique sickness. It will heal every unique disease. 12 fruits and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This tree of life that sits there square in the center of the kingdom of God is accessible among the children of God. The healing of this tree manifests itself in a variety of ways that are designed to heal every unique kind of suffering. So when we look at this text in the original Greek, we learn that both the word gift and the word healing are in the plural sense. You notice that when you look at your little pamphlet there, it says gifts of healings, not gifts of healing. They're both plural. Gifts of healings is what he says. I don't know why they made that singular, but the original Greek has both of those words as being plural. There are multiple gifts of multiple sorts of healing in the Church of Jesus Christ. The world has many kinds of illnesses, so Jesus Christ has given his church the spiritual giftedness to address every kind of malady. It only makes sense that if we, the Church of Jesus Christ, have been given the mandate to continue the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ our Lord, that we would also be endowed with the power to heal all manner of diseases like Jesus did. It only makes sense. When you think about it, healing was a hallmark of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus manifests the power of the Holy Spirit in every way during his earthly ministry. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, miracles, faith, and all the rest. But hands down, when you read the Gospels, Jesus Christ manifested the Spirit of God in the area of healing far more than any other gift. Jesus Christ was a healer. To get a general idea of just how pervasive healing was in the ministry of Jesus, just take a look at Luke chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says here that all the people were trying to touch Jesus because power was coming from him and healing them all. Power was emitting from him that healed them all. He wasn't praying for them one by one. In fact, Jesus may not have even known the people were trying to be healed. Healing is who he is. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. And healing, the power of healing, emanated from his being. And people were healed just by touching him, just by coming into contact with Jesus. Psalm chapter 103 says, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who pardons all your guilt, who heals all of your diseases." God is a healer. God promises to heal all of our diseases. Jesus Christ, as the only begotten Son of God, came healing all kinds of diseases. And Paul is saying here that Jesus Christ has invested this same healing agenda, this same healing power into his church. Psalm 107 verse 20 says this, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 17 says, for I will restore health to you and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. This tells us that God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ are fully committed to healing the wounds of humanity. This is the agenda and the power that he has invested in his church. Why? Why does God desire to heal? Why is God so invested in the ministry of healing? Well, first of all, because God has compassion on all of his creation. The ministry of healing is a ministry of compassion. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 says this, now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard about this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus came ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion on them and healed their sick. He felt compassion and he healed their sick. God has compassion on all of his creation. God pities all of his creation. What Jesus doing, what you and I must understand, is that sickness and disease are not a part of God's original plan for creation. Sickness and disease is an anomaly, inconsistent with God's plan for mankind. Sickness and disease is the second most significant component of the brokenness and fallenness of humanity. Death being number one. Jesus Christ came into the world to make all things new. Jesus Christ came into the world to renew all of creation to its original state, which is a state of wellness, a state of health, a place of deep and abiding contentment. Came into the world to restore us to a state of health, and he made a way for our healing by his own cross and by his own blood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Do you believe that? By his wounds, you have been healed. I want us to take note of this close connection then between sin and sickness. All sickness, all disease and all suffering is the result of original sin. Not your sin, not my sin, but original sin. So that sin itself is the original sickness. Sin is sickness. All of us have sin, and so all of us are sick. Let me say that again. For anybody who may not believe it, all of us have sin, and so all of us are sick. So to the world, healing is a sign of God's compassion. But for we who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, healing is the most critical and fundamental aspect of our walk with Jesus Christ. Did you know that you're being healed as you walk with Christ? Did you know that as you journey with him, he is healing you as you go? All of us are being healed. Healing, brothers and sisters, is the principal work of sanctification. Healing is the principal work of sanctification. This is why it's so important that gifts of healing be the most pervasive in the church. Because the sole purpose of sanctification is that we might be healed. We say sanctified, we say we've been set apart, we're holy, we're righteous. No, being sanctified means that you're being healed. That you're being reshaped and renewed and revived again, over and over again. Healed physically, healed mentally, healed emotionally, healed spiritually. Isn't that amazing? What's more amazing is this, that we, as a collective body, we generate these gifts of healings among ourselves, so much so that sometimes we are healed just by our coming together in fellowship. Iron sharpening iron. We are healed as we come together as a collective body. We generate an aura of healing for one another. Sometimes we're healed as we worship God together. Nobody knows what you're going through, Yuri. Hello, Yuri. Nobody knows what you're going through, Albie. Nobody knows everything that you're going through. But sometime in the midst of our worship, the Holy Spirit brings healing as we come together as one body and focus on Jesus Christ. We emit from ourselves the power to heal one another. A self-healing body. This is what God envisions for us. This healing environment that we foster together does its work whether anyone knows about your pain or not. That's the wonderful thing about it. I don't have to tell you everything. Some things God just heals by his presence when we're together as a collective body without me ever saying a word to anyone. Let me give you an example. 5 years ago, when I came to Cornerstone Community Church, nobody knew that I was a broken man. Did anybody know that? 5 years ago, when I came through the doors of Cornerstone Community Church, I was on my very last leg with my very last win. Did anybody know that? Freshly betrayed by friends, confidants, people I had taken into trust. Betrayed. Let down by people who I had stood with for 20 some, even 30 years. Betrayed. Disillusioned by ministry. Watching leaders fall one by one, I became pessimistic. I became cynical and I was angry. Did anybody know that? I was tired. Newly injured, exhausted and fatigued. No one here knew that I was just one step away from giving up on ministry and walking away. Did you know that? Nobody knew that. Robert had no way of knowing that just days before I received his invitation to come to be an interim pastor here, that I had been in conference with God about stepping away from ministry for a season. Robert had no way of knowing that. I was in deep negotiation on my knees, explaining to God, I have enough of this. I would much prefer to go and get myself a regular job and just mind my business. Angry and bitter and confused and perplexed and injured. Robert couldn't have known that. That I was wounded, that I was angry, frustrated, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually drained. He couldn't have known that, that I was in despair, that I was in disbelief of what I was experiencing. I felt like there was a weight on my shoulders, a boulder of discontent that would not budge. Nobody knew that. So in December, I had just finished up an interim pastorate out in Galena, Indiana, right on the border of Michigan. And I accepted their invitation to come be their interim pastor. I was their interim pastor for 8 months. And what I didn't know when I took the job, because I was injured before I started this job, I took the interim pastorate, and I didn't realize they had a Sunday morning service and a Sunday evening service. And they're 2 hours from my house. And so I would have to drive there on Sunday morning and preach, drive back home, drive back at nighttime and preach again. I didn't know I had to do two services. I didn't know that when I signed up. And I'm saying to God, you see I'm limping. You see that I'm limping. You see that I'm breaking down. You see that I'm exhausted and tired and fatigued. No, why are you doing this? Give me a minute to catch my breath. And the Holy Spirit says, no, son, go ahead and do the work. And so I'm driving back and forth with all of my pain and all of my problems, shedding tears all by myself, angry, disgruntled, frustrated, getting up and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because that is my personal mandate, and getting back in my car and saying, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm tired. I burned the candle at both ends for too many years. I'm exhausted now. Nobody knew that. And I was stuck, driving back and forth. My world was falling apart in at least three different areas. I had overstretched myself. I had left myself no margin for recovery. I had left myself no time to mend. I had been busy for Jesus. And now when life began to overwhelm me, I couldn't find a way out. I called around and tried to find someone to help, tried to find someone to administer healing to me. And I learned something very interesting about the Church of Jesus Christ. That we are very good at putting on airs and putting on a front and saying all of the right things. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, when the rubber meets the road and life is really hard, it seems that we have no solutions. We like to talk theology. We like to talk about the creeds and what we believe. But when I'm injured, when I'm down on my knees and I'm crying out and making the phone calls, nobody can seem to relate to my suffering. Healing is not present. You've heard me talk about the recovery ministry I was involved in over in Indiana. That's why I got involved in recovery ministry, because I recognized something about the church. That unfortunately, we don't realize that we have a healing mandate from Jesus Christ. We have a healing mandate to heal one another emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. We have a mandate from Christ to do that. But we don't hold up our end of the responsibility very well. So Mike Sett called me a couple weeks ago, and he's like, I got this idea. I've been thinking about this idea. And ministry leaders, when they get hurt and injured and wounded in ministry, they need a place to go where they can recover. He didn't know that he had already been that for me. He didn't even know. And I'm thinking, wow, that's exactly what the church did for me. We need to make a space where people can come and be healed when they're fatigued and they've overstretched themselves and they're burned out. And I'm thinking, wow, that's exactly what happened to me. That's what Cornerstone Church is all about. Being that healing place, creating that healing environment, operating in the gifts of healings of all kinds, even when we don't know what the problem is. I've seen it happen in this church time after time after time. There is a healing component to our ministry here. Unintentional, and probably you're even unaware of it. But we emit a power of healing that is essential right now to the body of Christ. This is not the time for us to give up. This is the time for us to be intentional. But identifying those people who are in need, who are burned up and burned out, coming alongside and offering this power that we seem to collectively generate to the masses. Cornerstone Community Church is a healing church. It healed me. And so I know that it's true. I love the fact that God sent the doctor to be with us today. Coincidental, when we talk about healing, he sends us the doc. Yeah. So there I'd been out in Galena, Indiana, preaching and driving and crying. I got off of that assignment in mid-December, and I had decided to devote all of my diminishing spiritual resources toward focusing on my own personal healing. And I get a call from Robert Leon. He says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Robert didn't hear it because I didn't say it out loud. But my response was absolutely not. No. I am tired and worn out. I am disgruntled. I am cynical. I am becoming more and more bitter. No, I don't want to serve right now. I was sick. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, you will serve right now. And don't do this, don't do this. But I got into an argument. Don't do that. Don't argue with God about things. It's not good. You can't win. But I was arguing. And listen to how the oxymoron of it. I was getting on my knees and arguing. Isn't that foolish? I'm getting on my knees and arguing. No, no. Can't do it right now. Life is going on. Life is hard right now. Can't do it. Amen. No, don't do that. I was in an argument. Well, the Holy Spirit wasn't arguing. He was just waiting for me to get up off my knees and go do my job. He was already determined that I had to obey. And so I obeyed. And I came to this church to serve. I came to this church to heal. I came to this church to bless according to the grace that God would give me. What happened next, I did not expect. I came to this church and I began to sense hope again. I came to this church and my spiritual sickness was beginning to be attacked. It was being beat back into the darkness. I came through these doors and I was healed. Healed by a congregation that had no idea I was even sick. Healed by a people who had no idea that I was wounded. That is the power you emit. That is who we are. The enemy wanted me to retreat, and I wanted to retreat. I wanted to take a hiatus, but what God knew was, Calvin, if you sit down and take a break right now, you're never coming back to ministry. And he was right. I had an ulterior motive. I was going to go somewhere and mind my business. But Jesus Christ knew best, as he always does. Jesus Christ knew that he has invested healing into the church, and that as I ministered to others, the gift would be generated toward me and I would be healed. And this is why we come to church. This is why we have to fellowship together. Because the manifold gifts of healings are released in community. Watching online is fine. There's nothing wrong with watching online if you have no other alternative. But if you can make it out to the house of God and sit and fellowship with the fellowship of believers, if you can make it here, your healing will be accelerated. You will be restored to a place of health, a place of strength more quickly. We all are in the process of being healed. As I look around the room, many of us have a variety of illnesses. And together we have more illnesses and sicknesses among our own selves than anyone can even count. I've been pastoring, I've been serving God's people now over 23 years. And I have learned this. I have made this a rule, a pastoring rule of mine, to always assume that every believer I come into contact with is sick in one way or another, no matter who they are. Every believer I come into contact with is sick. And that's the truth. Every one of us is sick. Every one of us is being healed. Every one of us is being healed by one another. If we're open to being healed, you have to be open to be healed. Did you know that not every sick person wants to get well? That's the truth. Not every sick person wants to get well. Not every broken person wants to be made whole. Not every believer is willing to submit to the deeper works of the Holy Spirit and have our souls laid bare before ourselves, before God, and before others. Not every believer is willing to do that. And so here's what we do. We make the confession of faith in Jesus Christ, and we're holding our baggage. And we say, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? Yeah. Hold on, woman, let me put my bag down. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. We're welcome into the family, and we step over here. Now we're in the family of God. And we live the rest of our lives in religion, trying to pretend like that baggage over there doesn't exist. It can't work. The Holy Spirit wants to get into your bag because that's where the healing is. When you come to Jesus, you may as well bring your baggage on with you. Don't try to hide it from, just bring your baggage and say, it's pink. Yeah, my baggage is pink. Bring your baggage on over with you into the kingdom of God and open it up. Healing is the children's bread, brothers and sisters. And the problem that many of us have is that we will not admit that we are sick. And you know what the difficulty with that is? Jesus said it himself. The well do not need a physician. And if you continue to say you're well when you know that you are sick, you are never going to get the physician's attention. The Pharisees and Sadducees were sick and they would not admit it, and Jesus left them where they were. We have to be willing to admit that we are sick. Most of the time when believers sin, this is an observation, not a rule, don't take it as a theological rule, but most of the time when believers sin, it has more to do with things from our past and wounds and injuries that we have than anything else. We sin out of our pain. We sin out of our sickness. We sin out of our ailments. And Jesus Christ comes into our life and says, don't just focus on trying to stop sinning. Let's you and I together walk to the source of this problem. You're always defensive and always wanting to battle people. Let's go to the place in your life where this began. Let's search for the reason why. And if I heal your insecurities from when you were 13 years old, you'll stop being so defensive at 50. But most of us don't want to take the journey back. We got saved today and we think, well, I'm saved right now and that's all that matters. And Jesus saying, yeah, but there are a lot of renditions of yourself that we need to now walk back through your life and find you again. Because over time, as you're injured and traumatized over time, you change. And Christ comes into our life and says, no, let's not walk forward. Let's walk backwards. Let's go see where you've been. Let's go identify your problems. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you through the body of believers. Does that make sense? We're not just coming together to sing songs and to be religious and to check off the box for Sabbath day. We're coming to church to be healed. And so one of the things I've done in my own life, you can practice this if you like, is I have taken the time to write down my whole story. I have about 60 pages of just my life story. All the things that have happened that I can recall over a lifetime. So that when I'm listening to a sermon, I am looking over my story and thinking, how does that apply to this wound? How does that apply to that injury? How does that apply to my actual story? That's how you get something from a sermon, not just by receiving information, but by taking it personally and letting the Word of God drill down deep within your own psyche to help you to see those aspects of yourself that He desires to heal and to change. There is healing in the Church of Jesus Christ. We emit the power of healing for one another. But we have to be transparent with one another. That doesn't mean telling all of your business. Now, I'm not a person to tell all of my business. I tell most of my business because I need to tell my business so that other people can be healed. Had you ever attended one of my recovery ministry services, you'd be like, wow, Pastor, I don't believe that happened to you. Yeah, a lot of things happened to Pastor. Pastor's been through a whole lot. Pastor have a whole lot of pains. What Pastor has learned to do, what we all must learn how to do, is to utilize the body of Christ in such a way to help us to heal from our debilitations, from our disabilities, from our deformities, to utilize one another to find healing for our souls, not by telling you all of my personal business. But here's what I do as a pastor. I always do this. I don't know if it's a gift or if we're all supposed to be doing it. I think we all should be doing this. Anytime I meet a person, I automatically assume that they are sick. How you doing, brother? What's your name?
Luke.
Good to meet you, Luke. Luke is a Bible name. Powerful, brother. Disciple of Jesus Christ. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
Good. How long have you been serving the Lord?
10 years.
Got saved in youth ministry, probably? Yeah. Awesome, man. So what are you going to do for God when you start ministry? You're going to be in the ministry, right? Finance and accounting. You like money. I like money too. How can I pray for you?
That I have the strength to finish my classes strong.
Yeah, so you're kind of concerned about that? You want to be a grade A student, number one in class?
Trying to be, yeah.
Yeah. Very competitive, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Were you like that when you were growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of competitive. How does that play out in your daily life? How does that become a problem for you when you take it too far? Do you ever experience that where you're too competitive?
You tear others down rather than building them up.
Yeah, you tear things down. We all do it sometimes, right? Being competitive most of the time, what I've experienced in my life, is that when people are very competitive, it's because they feel like they have to prove something. Like they feel like they don't necessarily measure up. Do you ever feel any way inferior about things or insecure? Yeah. I do too. And so I drove myself, man, almost to drive myself crazy because I was so competitive and I had to win all the time. Let me give you a piece of advice, young man. Don't worry about that. Never compare yourself to anybody else. Find out what God's calling is for you and just follow His call. That is ministry. That is ministry. I went into his life looking for a problem because I know a problem is there. I can do that with anyone here. We all have problems. And together, when we become intentional about identifying those problems, not saying you're bad and you need to change, you're bad too, I'm bad too, everybody's bad. Never mind bad and good. I'm talking about sick and well. Because if God can heal your sicknesses, God will heal your sin. Your sin derives from your sickness. No, you're not sick. I'm not saying you're sick. I'm just saying that all of us have faults and frailties and flaws and character flaws and things like that. And sometimes those small character flaws point to something much bigger in our past that we need to deal with. That's ministry. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." Now listen to this. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be forgiven? No. So that you may be righteous? No. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. Why would he say that? He's talking about sin. You don't pray for sinners, you pray they repent. You pray you'll get your life on track. You pray they'll stop acting up and get themselves together and stop rebelling against the laws of God. That's what you pray for. No, James says, no, don't pray for all that stuff. Pray that they might be healed, because that sin is coming from a place deep within them, a place they may not even be aware of. And it is my responsibility as a person of God, and your responsibility as a man or woman of God, to help to identify those areas and to gently pray for one another, that God might heal us, and thereby we become sanctified. The ministry of healing is one of the most important ministries in any church. When we allow it to be, when we submit ourselves to one another and confess our sins and our faults and our frailties to one another, we find the healing that we need. There are gifts of healing within the body of Christ. And the healing that you need, sister, the healing that you need, brother, that healing is here today. Whatever it is that's troubling you, whatever it is that's burdening you, whether it's physical or emotional or psychological or spiritual, healing is being generated right now, this very moment, among us. And if you can believe, God can heal you of all kinds of maladies even right now. The Word of God says it. My life is living proof of it. And some of your lives are living proof of the power of God to heal. Let me pray a prayer of healing for us now. And I hope that if something is going on in your life that you need healing for, some area in your life that you need to be restored, some sickness, some emotional illness that you're struggling with, I pray that God will give you deliverance and relief even as we come together and pray as a body of believers. It's not my prayer that's going to heal anybody. But together, we as the body of Christ, we have the ability to emanate the power of healing to and toward one another. Receive that healing now. Lord Jesus Christ, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals us. You are the God who has invested within your church these gifts of healing, this aura, this environment of healing. First natural and then even spiritual. Father, I pray for us this morning. I pray for those of us who may be up under tremendous stress and strain, struggling under fears and anxieties of all kinds, emotionally in despair, some even unto the point of death. Lord Jesus Christ, we stand together this morning as your body, and we ask you to administer healing to your body even right now. We ask you, Father God, to allow these spiritual gifts of healings to pervade our environment, to speak to our deeper and even our deepest needs. We pray for the humility to admit and to confess that we are in fact sick. We don't necessarily know where all of our pain is coming from. But we believe that by your stripes, Lord Jesus Christ, we are being healed. We pray for the manifestation of the spiritual gifts of healing to be present in our lives even right now. Let your glory rest upon each one of us. Some of us are thinking of and praying for loved ones right now. I pray for that brother, I pray for that sister, that niece, that uncle, that aunt, those parents that have not received you as Lord. I pray for their healing. I pray that the blindness would fall from their eyes and that they might see and come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you have died for our sins, that you have risen physically and bodily from the dead. I pray that you will save souls among our families. I pray that you will heal relationships, broken relationships. I pray that you will heal emotions, that you will heal our minds, that you will bring us to a place and restore us to a place of complete wholeness by your Spirit. We believe that healing is the children's bread. And so we trust in you. We rely upon you to be our strength, to be our shield, to be our buckler, to be our help, and to be our healing. Confident that you hear us when we pray, we entrust our illnesses to you, and we wait for your healing power to manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.